don't know. I still like this little bit of guitar stuff.
No, I like it a lot.
So, guess what? Yes, it's Frank and Robert. We're here.
Yay.
Boy, that thing's loud right now. Come on, quiet down. There it is. Okay. Alright, it was kind of funny, right before we started doing this, we were talking about all the different jobs people have and all the stuff that goes in with that. And there's just so many jobs out there and so many different ways of making a living. And you ever notice when people get programmed? This is what I do, and so, you know, it doesn't matter what the situations change around them, they're still doing that the way they were doing it before.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's just, it's still fascinating, though, because it's like, how do people decide or stumble into some of the careers that they've had? You know, it's fascinating.
I had a guy come in, and he asked me, he said, you know, about, you know, getting in a bait shop. And I said, you're out of your mind. I said, you know, in today's world, it's very feasible thing to do. I said, unless you're looking for, you know, if you've got an income coming in and you want to be able to, you know, spend money and have it tax deductible and you want to lose money on it, get into the tackle business.
Right.
You know, and he looks at me and I'm like, well, in today's world, most young people don't go to stores. They're on their phone looking at it. They see a YouTube video or a Facebook thing or Insta, whatever, you know, whatever the all these, whatever they're looking at. And then they look at there and then they go to the website and they buy the stuff if they want it. But I think most people under 30 don't really consider stores as an option.
No, that's true.
I mean, it's not that the store is better or worse or it's more expensive or less expensive. It's not even a viable consideration. You know, they're just going to get it on the internet and have it shipped to their house.
Yeah, it's just instinctual. They just do it.
Where, you know, older people, we think of going to a store to get what we want. We
right.
don't think about jumping on the internet to get what we want. I go over to the hardware store and get the hardware I want, or grocery store and get groceries, and don't really consider that. Never thought once about going on the internet to have groceries delivered to the house.
No, not at all.
Never crossed my mind. And, but then again, we work in a retail store, and we think retail and stores and all that.
Absolutely.
But when you have these kids growing up, stores are not part of what they think about. And we hear towns like up in Gainesville where you got to pay to try on clothes. You got to pay to try on shoes because they want to go in and try them on somewhere, then buy it on the internet.
Yeah.
And the store is sitting there watching their merchandise get used and abused, and they're not making any money off of it. So they literally are now charging in a lot of places for you to try on stuff and look at stuff and do all that because they know the kids are going to go on the internet and buy it. They can save $5 or $10 or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it.
So getting into any kind of business nowadays is risky.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just not a lot of money to be made in the fishing tackle business. We turn over more money than pretty much any store I know of, but we just don't get to keep a lot of it.
Right.
I was telling the hot dog guy today, we've got a guy out behind the store now who's selling hot dogs, bratwurst. Hit corn on the cob last night.
Yeah.
With corn on a stick, you know, you could get. Mm-hmm. It was good. I couldn't eat it. I had I took a knife and cut a little piece of it off, tasted it. It was good, but with my teeth all messed up right now, I don't get my implants in until February.
Nice.
So once I get my implants in, I can actually eat again. But now I have this temporary thing in there. So it messes up the way I talk and everything else. It's just annoying. It's easier to be clear if I talk out of the side of my mouth. When I talk straight on, I get this flip up. Anyway, I guess we should get around to fishing stuff.
Yeah, probably be a good idea.
It's been 5 minutes of BSing.
Yeah, sometimes that's entertaining.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I just like to rant.
Well, that's, some of your rants are pretty darn good.
But outside of, you know, if you've been in business a long time, you've got a guaranteed clientele and you're all built up, but a lot of hours in the tackle business. A lot of hours. I mean, we're open from 6 a.m. till 8 at night, 4 days a week, 6 to 9 at night, 2 days a week, and 6 to 7, 1 day a week, 365 days a year. Yeah. If I had it to do over again, I think I would have been closed Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday and Wednesday, one of those.
I could see that.
You know, just so everybody had 2 days off.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But at this point, can't really do it.
No.
No, can't do it. So, let's see. Peace River?
Oh, let's see. There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon anywhere from Harbor Heights all the way up to above the Navigator and then up to the Shell Creek Dam. And then they've also been getting a lot of small snook. I haven't heard of too many really good-sized snook, but quite a few in that 20 to 28-inch range. And then a handful of those docks on the Punta Gorda side have been holding some redfish. And the redfish there have been pretty decent size, you know, 20, 24, 26 inches. Not great numbers of them, but for this time of year to be catching slot size, what would normally be slot size redfish, that's pretty good.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to that guy, that lobbyist from D.C., and, you know, kind of what brought on all the different ways of making a living. I mean, you're behind the counter and you're talking to somebody who made his living. He worked in a factory all his life, or one guy, he's a lobbyist up in D.C., and another guy who's a truck driver. I mean, you just never know. And got people who bought and sold businesses, and some of the people that come in are worth millions. Some can barely afford the 24 shrimp they're buying.
Right.
And it's just a weird, just an overview of the whole world. You know, crazy when you think about it all.
It's kind of neat, really. I mean, fishing is the one thing that unites them.
Oh, yeah. How many times have you seen somebody standing there who I literally know is worth million or several millions, talking to somebody who pulled up in a car that their tires are all bald because they can't even afford another tire.
Right.
And they sit and talk for an hour or two about, you know, I don't know, they're going on.
Both teaching each other things about the fishing and showing each other pictures of the fish they've been catching.
And the hot dog guy, he retired and his dream was to have a hot dog stand. I mean, what a trip.
Yeah.
You know, super nice guy.
Yeah, he is. I like him a lot.
And no, we don't charge him rent or anything. We just let him go back there and sell his hot dogs.
Right.
And they're good.
They are. They're actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's good product. Him and his wife are really nice people. If you come in, go around back and come through the Edgewater thing and just stop and say hi to him. You'll enjoy him. I-75, what's going on there?
There's been some juvenile tarpon there also, especially in the afternoons and evenings. There has been some bigger snook if you're willing to get beat up and broke off, working all the pilings real slow with a rattle trap, just kind of almost vertical jigging it, or using a bucktail. I had two different guys buy quite a few rattle traps the last several days because they keep getting destroyed by big fish that are just pulling them right into the pilings there. And the on the north end of the 75 bridge, there's been some smaller snook and a couple of redfish over there too. You know, got a little peppy there a couple days this past week along with the cold. So if you guys stayed up there and stayed out of the wind.
Yeah, I get it. Can you hear me tapping when I type?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do something about that. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
It's the where the wood is. It's for some reason or another echoing back through the microphones.
Hmm.
I'll fix it. 41 bridge.
Let's see, a hodgepodge of stuff. Let's see, there's been a few trout, a bunch of redfish going on over there by the power lines and on the southern end, kind of in the flats, but they've been catching those at night. And then there's been a handful of snook there being caught also at night and in the early mornings. One guy did catch a small bull shark, and another customer did see a sawfish swimming through the flats there off of that new bridge, pier, whatever walkway that you want to call it underneath there.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, one of the things the county did okay.
Yeah, it's a really nice little spot.
Yeah.
It's fun to even just walk. I haven't gotten anything off of there this week.
You know,
there's been so many festivals and stuff going on down there that I think people are kind of avoiding the parking situations. Today there's like a chili festival or something, and I think last weekend was the seafood festival.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people think we get information from charter boat captains. I mean, I was talking to, and he says, oh, well, what do? You know, call the captains and ask what's going on? I said, you'd believe a captain when he told you stuff? I said, bud, I said, that's not where you want to get information. There's probably, what, about five captains out of the 5,000 down here I would actually believe if they told me something about fishing?
Yeah, yeah. And even then, I don't take it as a...
gospel.
No.
Take it as a suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah, take that and divide it by 10. It's almost like trying to talk to my mother and my stepfather. I ask one how they're doing, the other one how they're doing, and then I try to figure out the truth that's in between, because both of them aren't telling me squat.
Not much real.
No.
It's like I was watching some of the stuff about the impeachment today, and the one says this, the other says that. The one says this, the other says that. And inevitably, because I was watching several different stations trying to get different viewpoints, and one of them said, well, did you notice they're all white? They're all white people. I said, really? The race card? And the funniest part about it was the network that was saying this, everybody on the panel was white. They were all white people saying that the white people on there were racist because they were white, but it was a panel of white people saying the other people were racist because they were white.
Nice.
I was like, politics really is kind of stupid. That's why we're in the fishing business.
Right.
Because it's hard to believe that we are more truthful about catching fish and who's catching what where than you see on the cable news networks.
Oh, big time.
That's the part that kind of throws me. And, you know, I literally think sometimes, no, wait a minute, we do fishing reports and try as best as we can to tell the truth. And there are national shows lying their butts off, making stuff up.
Like, right.
How does this work? Robert, you have more credibility than anybody on either one of the two networks that I watched this morning. I'm just shocked. When I would take your word over, I would say, 90% of the congressmen that I listened to today, or senators, or whatever the hell they were, politician people. Good God, sad a state of affairs.
It is.
Us fishermen are more honest than these people?
Scary.
Okay, so anyway, Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier's actually been hopping pretty good. They've been getting a couple of small trout. They started to pick up a couple of whiting this week. They've also, a couple of guys have caught some triple tail off of there, throwing out dead baits on the bottom while trying to fish for the occasional shark and the short cobia that they've been getting out there. A couple of guys have been fishing there at night and catching a few snook up in the shallows. Haven't heard anything about that like in 3 days, but they had been catching some.
Yeah, the weather's getting so crazy going up and out.
Oh, geez.
The climate's changing. Well, it got cold out. It was warm out before. So the climate did change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spring, so, summer, fall,
winter. Just remember,
winter.
You only got 12 years to fish. The world's ending.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Take advantage of what you got now, boys and girls. Get that big boat. Go out. You know, catch all the fish you can. You only got 12 years. All right. Port Charlotte canals?
Oh, let's see. They've been... My canal is still pretty crappy, but the other canals...
Right, Robert's canal sucks.
It does. It's been lousy back there.
I'm going to take that out.
That's crazy. It's been very slow back there, but the Spring Lake, the Ackerman, and the Manchester Waterway, some nice jacks, some snook, a few redfish, black drum. Still hearing of sand bream. Had a guy come in with three tilapia that he had caught. He had his picture on his phone. He's like, I caught three of these, and I'm pretty sure they're tilapia, but I just want to be 100% sure. You know, so there's been some pretty decent catches going around. You know, and the snook have been being caught. You know, guys are trolling on their way in and out, which is cool because there's so many people finally starting to get a clue of after how many years of you teaching them.
You know what
I
think really did it? The Storm Twitch Stick.
Oh, I think so. That makes sense.
I think
that makes
the Storm Twitch Stick was the balance, the thing that tipped the scale, because before you had the Storm Twitch, you were kind of guessing what lure you control in the canals and catch fish. And
that's true.
You tell them, listen, take this little lure, tie it on, throw it out behind a boat, and idle along. And they catch fish with it. And then their buddies see them. They talk to their buddies, and they're catching fish. But it didn't dawn on me till this moment, and literally this minute, that it would have been the Storm Twitch Stick, because that's what they catch the fish on in South Gulf Cove, in Port Charlotte, in the PGI canals.
Alligator Creek.
Everybody's pulling a Storm Twitch Stick.
No,
it's
you're
catching
right.
fish, and now they believe trolling works. So they're actually trying some other lures. But until that Storm Twitch Stick happened...
Confidence builder.
That was what made the difference in between, okay, yeah, go trolling and you'll catch fish, and them going out and actually catching fish. That one lure put all that into motion.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because as soon as you said it, it clicked 100%.
That's, simple truth is hard to deny.
Yeah, no, that's true. Just never put two and two together, but the moment it left your lips, it was like, yep, yeah, absolutely. That's pretty good.
Somebody was asking me what our radio show would do this week in fishing. I would have to say that's one of the big things we try to do on that show is find the simple truth in what's going on, whether it's why don't we have a fish, or about a red tide, or, you know, catching this fish or catching that fish. If you can find the simple truth, the thing that when you hear it, you go, ding, ding, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that we do on that show that is the most uncommon for what anybody would normally listen to.
I think you're right. I mean, we've had several of those aha moments.
Because, you know, we talk about fishing, we talk about lures, and we get off on this, and we do that, and we do the other thing. But over the last year or two, we've done quite a few of those moments where we just sit down and try and break down what's going on with something, and it goes on until someone goes, well, and then you hear it.
Right.
Simple truth has a ring to it.
Absolutely. No, that's true.
Alger Bean Pier.
They're catching sheep's head there and pretty decent. I wouldn't say, yeah, pretty good numbers. They're not giants, but they're running in that 12, 14, 15 inch range. They're also catching a few trout. They have been catching some jacks off and on. The tarpon and snook have been there pretty good in the early mornings or right just after sunset. But I haven't had a whole lot of guys fishing there at night that I've been hearing about.
You know, you say mornings, and mm-hmm. there was a guy in, and he says, well, you know, we catch our best fish in the daytime. I said, when's the last time you were fishing? He said, August. And I'm like, bud, you do know it's not August. I said, you get out there daylight, you're still probably, with the water temperature the way it is, you're not going to probably catch much fish until it gets to be 9 or 10 o'clock.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's when we do the best. I said, but it's not August. It's not the hottest time of the year with all the fresh water. You really want to get, you know, just the nice thing is it's cold out. The fish are going to wait until they feel the sun. Then they're going to come out. They're going to do all their stuff. And what I tried to explain to them was put your hand in the water. Forget what the air feels like. The air temperature can jump 50 degrees in a matter of a few hours.
Did, what, 4 days ago?
Yeah, I mean, literally, it was 70-some degrees first thing in the morning, and by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was down to in the 50s. And that was during the middle of the day. I watched it go from 80 at night down to 46. You know, it's a huge jump in air temperature, but put your hand in the water and feel what the water feels like. And if you, the further down you put your hand, the better. If you can get your hand down in the water and then look at the overall weather conditions, and when you're catching fish in these spots, remember what the water felt like. Was the water cool, cold, warm, hot? And once you get an idea of what the water's like and you're catching those fish in that spot, now you're kind of getting it. But knowing what the air feels like doesn't help you.
Not at all. Completely different animal.
Now, yeah. I try and tell people that if you're out there fishing and you feel like you want to be in the shade because the sun's baking down on you, the chances are the fish are going to want to be in the shade. If it's kind of chilly and you feel better in the sun than you do in the shade, chances are the fish are going to be more out in the open, shallow water, baking in the sun as well. But when it comes to these days where it's just kind of nice out, but it's not cold, it's not warm, you feel the water temperature, and that gives you a good idea, because if you're catching fish there or not catching fish there, when you feel that water and you go, okay, I fished here and I didn't catch anything, you feel that same water again, don't go back to that spot, go to a different spot. Or if you were catching fish there, now you know to go to that spot. But feel what the water's like, not what the air's like.
Right, exactly.
Except for short-term stuff.
Right.
So, all right, Myakka River area?
Oh, let's see. I'm still getting some reports of a few redfish up the Myakka River and a lot of snook up the Myakka River, but they're still small. Been some juvenile tarpon rolling up around there, up closer to the 41 bridge on the... this side of the 41 bridge, kind of between the trailer parks and the 41 bridge. And then down around Tippy Canoe and the north end of the Myakka Cutoff, there's a lot of little snook. There's been some fairly decent trout. And the redfish have been spotty but decent sized. You know, they're still running in that mid-20s to even a couple of 30-inch fish. Which is, once again, still, hey, we actually have redfish. They're not... what, extinct? You know.
You only got 12 years to enjoy it. Planet's ending in 12 years. So, you know, get on with your stuff. Catch the redfish now. Oh, wait a minute. They're all gone. Red tide killed them all.
Right.
Good God.
It's crazy.
The truth of the matter is, boys and girls, if somebody's telling you the truth is all the way over here on the left or all the way over there on the right, it's not true. There's always a middle to everything, and that's what you should look for.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? South Gulf Cove?
Just some guys trolling in and out of there and catching a few small snook. A couple guys went bass fishing in there today, but they never did call me back to let me know how they made out.
The West Wall?
Snook. Are scattered up and down the whole thing. So are the redfish, and they're up under the bushes, they're out on the flats. Just depends on that particular moment.
You know, when I was talking to a guy and he was telling me that if you go into the creeks, you're going to find smaller redfish. Yep. Outside of the creeks, you find the bigger ones.
Yeah, I've been hearing that from several people. Lots of rat reds up in there in like Trout Creek and Blowdown Creek and stuff like that. But staying on the outside perimeter of the West Wall itself, that's where the definite better quality redfish have been. And then there's also still been some pompano on the bar and the occasional bonnethead. Bonnetheads have been really void this year.
Well, they're on the Gulf. They're along the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck are they doing out there?
I don't know. That's the only spot I've been hearing of them sometimes, but even then it's still been weird.
I don't know. From Englewood North, I got a dozen reports of bonnet sharks on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was talking to several people today, and, you know, I haven't got there yet, so I didn't bring it up, but we'll do Cape Hayes and talk about that.
Okay. Cape Hayes has had some bluefish, been some ladyfish, some pompano, a few small trout, but I guess flipper's been really, really bad there this past week, so most of the guys aren't staying very long. They're getting annoyed by it.
It's really weird. I think it was Chandler was telling me they took a piece of cut bait standing on the Placida trestle, just tossed it out at just right at almost dark, and as it hit the water, the flipper came up and grabbed it and just...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, for them to get around to eating cut bait, you're tossing on a hook off the pier?
That's a little strange.
What the heck's going on with that?
Yeah.
They're usually smarter than that just to begin with.
Right.
But I guess they just figure they can eat around the hook or something?
I guess. Normally not.
Normally they're going to let you release the fish before they go after it. But, I mean, they're hitting baits that people are throwing out. It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, I'd get it if it was the whole bait where they, you know, because they're good at taking it off the hook that way
sometimes.
Yeah,
they see where the hook is and grab it and rip it off the hook.
Right. But cut bait is so weird and dangerous for them. I mean, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't get what's going on.
That's a little odd.
But, I mean, it just goes to show that they're literally, okay, there's people, there's food.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely associating that without a doubt.
Yeah. Anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
There's a lot of redfish and a lot of snook inside there. I mean, the snook are almost staged up in groups like they're in that pre-spawn kind of mood. Even with this little cold snap that we had last week, there's still groups of 5 to 15 fish sitting in just random spots, whether it's a deep pothole or sitting up underneath the mangroves. And they almost appear like they're in that segregated size where you're seeing a lot of the bigger ones together, then you're seeing a group of small ones, and then you're seeing that one group that's got the mix of both in it. Guys have been like, I'm seeing so many snook in little groups, and they're this size together or that size together, and it's strange.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. And without a doubt, climate change is real. Whether people are doing it, people aren't doing it, everything is having... We're in an unusual thing, but, you know, if you want to go into weird things, the Mayan calendar said that we were going to have, you know, 20-some years of weird weather and catastrophic flooding and extinction-level type things, which, if you look at the hurricanes, the flooding and all that, if it wasn't for diesel trucks that we bring water in and the electricity that we have and all that, I mean, a lot of this flooding and a lot of these storms would have, if we were more primitive, would have killed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
But, you know, our technology kind of saves us on some of that. But yeah. When you know, all these different things, and weather is very cyclical.
Yes, definitely.
The problem that we have is we don't know how big the cycles are.
No. Half a million years.
But it could be a matter of hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or, like you say, millions. But everything changes, and our weather is getting very strange. I mean, 2 years ago we had a January where the Peace River was flood stage.
Right.
We've had Januaries with 80-degree weather every day, Januaries with 30-degree weather. There's just not a lot to hold on to say, okay, this is how things are right now.
Right.
So, you know, why is it natural cycles of the earth, or is it, you know, bad people doing it? I just think it's weird in a time when the air's cleaner, we have less emissions, everything's going down, we've got more regulations. People think that you know, things are bad now, but I remember in the 70s, the late 70s, when rivers would catch on fire, the pollution was so bad.
Yeah.
And when acid rain and just all these horrible things were going on all around, but nobody ever said back then the world was going to end in 12 years, that we're all going to die.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. I think it's because of social media, because everything is so instant on there.
Yeah.
And if you're not telling them, okay, this is the day it's going to happen. When we were a kid, if they said, okay, the Earth's going to end on Thursday, November 25th, you'd look at them and go, okay, Bucky, yeah, let's get you over to a nice, safe rubber room.
Yep.
And nowadays, they take it like that's real. There's going to, you know, we're going to all die in 12 years. And those people should be escorted to a rubber room.
Yeah.
Not given...
Not praised.
Not praised or anything, because that's wackadoo stuff. I mean, the Earth could end tomorrow, 2 years from now, a week, 200 million years, a billion years. Nobody knows.
No.
So, Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Let's see. They've been getting some sheep's head on those. A couple guys have caught some sheep's head off of Danger Reef. Hmm. Like, nice-sized ones, 16, 18 inches. And then there's also been a couple of small black tips. One guy got a nice little sandbar there over at Danger Reef. I haven't heard much at Cape Hayes, really, though. It's been weird. Several reports from the Danger Reef, which is pretty much about nothing anymore, but still holds a lot of fish at times. I always go by there and check that spot if I'm ever out in that area, because you never know when it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I'd like to get permission to drop another boat there.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Nice, another nice steel hull, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah. Gasparilla Sound?
Well, let's see, all that area from Devilfish all the way up to Catfish Creek. If you're out in like 4 to 6 feet of water, there's a lot of trout. Most of them are smaller size, like 13 to 16 inches. But there has been a few mixed in bluefish, ladyfish, and a couple of a Spanish mackerel that a couple of guys were telling me about. And then if you move up to the bushes and work the shorelines or even the mouth of Whidden Creek and Catfish Creek, there's been sheep's head, snook, quite a few redfish. I mean, it's it's kind of the whole mixed bag of tricks, right, going all through that whole area. Even been some solitary tarpon sitting out in some of those sand holes throughout all the Whidden Bay and even over on the backside of Boker Grand. And like 60 pounders. I haven't heard of anybody catching them, but they're seeing them as they're bumping them out as they're drifting or trolling motoring along. So it's kind of neat.
It is weird.
It is.
And it takes us to the Placida Trestle, Gasparilla Pass.
Pretty much the only thing that's going on there is all sheep's head. Lots of sheep's head, both on the trestles, the bridges, and all of those docks around Gasparilla Pass.
Okay. Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay's pretty good. There's redfish and snook scattered from the Miserable Mile all the way up to above the Tom Adams Bridge. You know, and they're on the flats, they're under the docks, they're up on the mangroves. Trout have been sporadically decent, but most of them have been small. The guys who have been throwing bigger artificials, and some of the guys have been catching pinfish, have been catching a few trout in that 20 to 22 inch range. But the vast majority of them are on that small side. And then I've had quite a few guys catching baby gag grouper while fishing on the flats, drifting over those little sand holes and potholes and having a good time. It's been pretty decent.
I gotta hit pause on this for a second. And I just, my phone was ringing, I just make sure it wasn't anything too particular. It's kind of funny because Robert and I were just talking about his back hurts, my back hurts, and what did we do, and I've many times given thought to going up to one of those southern states. You know, we're so far south, we're not southern states. But, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, you know, all those states up in there. And I thought, you know, you could retire in there and you could find cheap property and, you know, very low taxes, because that's not Port Charlotte anymore. They're not cheap anymore. And then something like this happens where it's been chilly out all day and your back gets all tensed up. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going that far north.
No.
It's too. I'm not going to do the winters well. I like a little bit of cold weather, but I want to get in it, you know, have a little bit of snow, play around for a little while, and get the heck out.
Right.
And I just, you know, one of those things where, you know, okay, well, it'd be cheap to live there, but I don't think I could move for about 4 months a year. My muscles all get locked up.
At least.
I don't think I could take it.
Mm-mm. I couldn't.
You know, it's as soon as it gets damp and cold out, man, I start locking up like a son of a gun. I just, you know, and I grew up, I've been outside in 40 below weather working, you know.
Right.
And no.
Hence the reason why your body tells you now, no.
No. I can't.
Remember this?
I honestly don't know what the temperature is outside right now, but it's got to be in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's supposed to get really cold tonight. It's supposed to get down into like the low 40s tonight, like 42, 41, something like that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that damp cold. Mm-hmm. It's not bad when the sun's out and it's nice and crisp, you know. Okay, I can deal with that. But will you add a little dampness to that cold?
Yep, forget it.
And I will tell you, if you're from Minnesota, sorry, Minnesota, but you get picked on today, because we get these people coming in that are going out on boats first thing in the morning, and they're from Minnesota. This was the most recent one. They come from all over, and they're always telling us it's 64 degrees. Yeah, okay. But they're always telling us, oh, well, this is nothing. I left. There was 3 feet of snow, and it was a blizzard and all that. But when you get in a boat, you're 2 feet off the water with 100% humidity at 60 or 64 degrees, and you're doing 25, 30 miles an hour. You better have some jackets on. Yeah, you're going to take those jackets off by 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. But if it's before that, and you're taking off in a boat, you are going to freeze. You are going to be shivering, shaking, freezing. And if you say, oh, no, that's not me. Oh, don't you know, I was a charter boat captain. I had those people out, and I always had to bring extra jackets for them because they won't believe you that Florida has the coldest 60 degrees in the world.
Right.
I've been halfway around the world, I've never seen 60 degrees like you have here in Florida.
No.
It literally is like 30 anywhere else with the way it eats through.
Yeah, that's crazy. It goes right into the bones. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you think we're talking nonsense. I'm not. I have lived in the northern states all over the place. I've been in Europe. I've been all over the place. And this is the coldest 60 degrees on the planet. It's got to be the humidity or something. I don't know.
Something to it.
But Englewood Pier.
I haven't heard much off the Englewood Pier, but I'm getting a lot of reports from the boaters fishing around the Tom Adams Bridge. The sheep's head, they've been cleaning up on the sheep's head there. A handful of trout, some snook. A couple guys have caught some pretty big snook underneath there. One gentleman was in, he had one that was, he didn't measure it because he was afraid to really take it out of the water, but he said it was well over 36 inches. Guessing by his picture, it was definitely in the mid-30s.
Nice fish.
He had a picture of it next to the gunwale of the boat because he at least wanted something, because it was as big as snook ever.
I would have taken it out and took a picture of it.
He had nobody with him. He was by himself, so he just wanted a good picture, but he was afraid to really do anything.
We don't know how to set the timer on our phones to set the picture
up. I have no idea how to do it, yeah. So, but he at least got a snapshot of it, but it was, had some shoulders on it, but he was super happy because he caught it on a little shrimp. He was just fishing around the pilings, and that's what it ate.
In
the middle of the day, no less.
Snack factor.
Yeah. Middle of the day, no less. He was just messing around for sheep's head or whiting or whatever was going to come along, and that's what he got freight trained by. He was so excited. I've gotten two really cool customers. When we get to another spot, I got to tell you about that. When we get to PGI, you got to remind me.
Okay.
But that's the second story that I got that was just cool.
Venice.
No, the jetties there are doing really good on sheep's head. There's been a few Pompano and Whiting. There's been the occasional Spanish mackerel and bluefish coming through. There's been a lot of bait fish, everyone's saying, from the jetties all the way down the beach, heading down past Caspersons, and from literally right off the shoreline to as far out as you can see, with birds diving and everything else.
Yeah. All right. Out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Only a few days this past week have guys been able to get out because the weather's been sketchy. But the few that are going out there have been very pleasantly surprised that 75 to 85 feet of water is where the red grouper have been. And they've been getting red grouper up to 30 inches. Of course, everyone's catching some gag grouper here and there too now that they're closed. They've also been getting some big trigger fish, and they're closed also. The weirdest part is everyone's asking me about mangrove snapper, and I have not got hardly any reports on mangrove snapper except for one guy that caught about a 3-pounder, and that was it. No yellowtail. A handful of guys are even having difficulties catching lane snapper. It's been really some bizarre feedback on some of the normal grocery fish.
I wonder, do they spawn now?
No. Usually it's a July and August full moon.
I wonder what...
I don't know. I mean, there's guys going out saying, I went to my lane snapper spot and I caught one. A couple guys have done really good, but it's amazing. It's almost like a light switch, and I was talking about it earlier with somebody. I'm like, 10 years ago, guys struggled to catch lane snapper. It's only in the last 5 years where lane snapper have just become so abundant.
Right.
But for him to shut down like this, it's just been a little on the oddball side.
Yeah, I don't get it.
No, doesn't make sense.
Okay, you know, but we're like along the beaches and stuff like that right now. I have never seen or heard of this many sharks at this time of year.
No, not this many. No.
I mean, normally if somebody came to me in January and said, oh, I want to go catch sharks, I'd say, well, there's going to be a few bonnets out in the, you know, on the flats. But other than that, they're few
Key
and
West.
Far between. Yeah,
that's my standard answer, Key West.
Head to the Keys. We have more sharks right now on the beaches, mm-hmm. and just off of the beaches and on the reefs and everywhere else than I have ever dreamed would be here at this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, there's sandbar sharks from 5 foot to 7 foot. There's black tips from 4 foot to 5.5 foot. I mean, stud-sized black tips. And normally they would be spinners this time of year, but there's actually a lot of black tips. A lot of them are actual just big black tips being
there's
caught.
Small black tips, big black tips.
Spinners. Donnie caught that tiger shark 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been weird, and guys are catching them standing on the beach casting out. Guys are kayaking from the beach going out, and then the guys that are just only going out in their boats a couple hundred yards.
Yeah, I told the guy, I said, he says, well, I'd really like to catch a shark. I said, just head out to any of the beaches, throw a rod out. You probably got seven or eight times out of ten, you're going to catch shark.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty
bigger,
impressive.
Bigger, smaller, whatever, but you'll catch a shark.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember this being possible before.
No, never.
We've had warm Januaries, but still, we didn't have sharks.
No. We always get that little rush of sandbar sharks, but it lasts anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks, 6 weeks tops, but not in these numbers. And to hear of all these bigger black tips and the bonnet heads, all of it, and this has been going on
for... Any idea what the heck's going on?
Not at all. The only thing I can figure is that there's so much bait, with everyone talking about all the bait from the beaches to 10 miles offshore.
They're willing to brave the little cooler water and say, screw it, I got food here.
The only other thing that makes a little bit of sense to me is maybe because 80% of the mullet fishermen didn't mullet fish this year. And a lot of those sharks followed all those schools of mullet back in because the mullet actually had a chance to go out there and come back. I don't know.
I'm going on to see if I can find the water temps.
It's definitely It's awesome but confusing at the same time. Because I've never seen it like
Key
this.
Key West is 76, Naples is 67, St. Pete is 63. Pensacola's not showing up, but we're talking about water in the mid-60s.
Right.
This is not shark waters for here.
No.
And the black tips and stuff, usually once it's over 70... and then it hits 75, we're inundated with blacktip sharks.
Right.
To have them here when the water's in the mid-60s?
Right. Doesn't make any sense.
Nothing about it makes sense. The world's ending in 12 years.
Yeah. No. It's definitely one of the most bizarre things I've seen as far as this goes. But it's great, so take advantage of it.
Yeah. If you want to catch a shark and you're down here in Florida, go along any of the barrier islands, the beaches out there, and you don't have to cast out real far.
No.
Just put a piece of dead mullet on, ladyfish, some type of cut fish, put a little sinker on it, throw it out what you can, and just wait for a little while.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got a sinker, you want about 2 feet, 3 feet out to your bait, and or if you can just throw a decent-sized chunk of bait out, just zing it out there, and a little bit of cut bait. If you can throw it without a weight, so much the better. It'll drift along a little bit. The only thing, if you're not using some type of weight, usually it will end up right back at the shore.
Right, exactly. So, especially the closer you get to the passes, that riptide along the shoreline gets much stronger.
It's just, you know, let's get back into the report, but I was hoping you had an answer, because I was going to, part of my article I'm going to write for the Water Life this week is a little bit about, you know, what we do on our radio show, a little bit about, oh my God, there's more sharks than I've ever seen.
Right.
And a few other things, but trying to figure that out.
No.
I got nothing. Literally nothing at all.
Nope.
It's great for the tourists because everybody comes to Florida wanting to catch sharks, but they show up in January.
Right.
And there's no sharks.
Nope.
And now you just say, go out to the beach right about evening, you know, get out there about 2 hours before sundown and throw your rods out. And, you know, by the time it gets dark, you'll have caught your shark.
More likely, yeah.
7 chances out of 10, you know.
Yeah.
70% chance you're going to catch a shark if you throw a chunk of bait out there.
So unbelievable, because it's usually about a 5% chance, if that.
You got a 1 in 10 chance most Januaries of catching a shark. We always have sharks. There's never a time we don't. But to have this many, this thick,
Targetable, absolutely.
Yeah, just go out, throw a piece of bait out in the Gulf, and you're going to probably catch a shark.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, anyway, okay. Boca Grande Pass.
Oh, let's see. They're catching sheep's head, some pompano. Still been a few bluefish and a few Spanish mackerel moving through there. Let's see what else we got going on. You know, of course, the sharks have been coming through there pretty regularly. They're still catching a few snook there. There's been snook in Boca Pass, and from around the phosphate dock, even cruising right out the pass towards the beaches. You know, and then there's also been a handful of redfish mixed in with that stuff. So it's been pretty decent.
All right, Captiva?
Captiva is almost a mirror image of Boca Grande Pass. The only thing I've had more of has been a few guys catching some gag grouper, and several guys have been seeing some tarpon rolling around that pass, both inside and outside of it, which is, I haven't heard of any in Boca this week. Last week I heard of a couple, but this week guys are talking about Captiva with a few.
All right, let's see, we're down to Middle Beach.
Just sharks. That's all I've heard about is sharks.
Okay, Sanibel.
Sanibel, there's been some, I've got a few more reports down there. They've been getting, can I talk? The snook have been getting a little bit better there during the day and at night. Some of the guys have been catching the trout standing on the seawall. They've been catching a lot of sheep's head around all the pilings along the bridge there, and even a couple of the oyster bars that are right in the immediate vicinity, just kind of heading north a little bit. And that's about it.
Okay.
I guess traffic's been a real treat going down there, though.
Yeah, I can't even imagine wanting to go to Sanibel right now.
That customer came in. He's like, I caught fish and had a good time. He says, I've been skunked twice in the last month, but he says, I'm done. He said the traffic was just not worth it. He said, I caught fish and had a great time, but I'm just not going back there. He's like, I'm done for a little bit.
Yeah, Sanibel this time of year is not someplace I even consider. I'm going to go. Now, getting down there in the summertime, it's a beautiful place.
Absolutely. I just think it's funny because it's so close to us, relatively speaking, but I can drive to the Skyway Bridge faster than I can drive there.
Oh, it's going to take you 3 hours. If you go in the middle of the day, it'll take you 3 hours to get to Sanibel.
Yeah.
I could drive to Daytona faster.
Good point.
All right, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's got a lot of sheep's head being caught off of it. That's been the mainstay right there. And then all along the immediate vicinity of Matt Lachey, there's been some snook, some redfish, handful of trout, even a couple guys hooked into some pompano heading up towards the north end there of Pine Island. You know, so there's been kind of a mixed variety of stuff, but everyone's talking about the sheep's head being cut off the bridge itself.
Yeah. And Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island's been a weird one. There's been a lot of snook and redfish along the bushes. The trout fishing's been pretty decent, but mostly in that 5 to 6 feet of water range over some of the better grass flats. But there's been a lot of guys down there targeting the tarpon that are sitting in all the sand holes. I guess there's like fishable numbers. Guys are drifting along, and only a couple guys have been hooking them. But some of the fly fishermen have been trying for them because the water's so clear. Other guys have been driving down there and throwing bait busters and pinfish and stuff at them. I only know one guy that hooked one out of all the fish that he saw, but he said he saw like 10 or 12 fish individuals in different sand holes as he trolling motor along. So, kind of bizarre.
Okay, Jug Creek, north end of Pine Island.
North end of Pine Island, I got Boquilla. The pier itself has been doing really, really good on sheep's head. There's been a handful of pompano being caught out there along the whole flat area around both to the east and the west of it, I guess. And then the snook and a few redfish scattered along the shoreline there, too. That woman was in here earlier. I don't know if she works there or lives down there, but she was telling me all about all the different fish. She said a gentleman caught about a 300-pound jewfish off of there the other day. I'm like, seriously? She's like, I have no idea where it came from, because she said they've been catching some jewfish. I said, oh, those little baby goliaths are pretty cool. She's like, oh, no, this was a big one. She said this was a true 300-pound fish or better. Wow. I'm like, really? There? And she's like, I have no idea where it came from, but he got it. He was shark fishing, and he caught it there. I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You would think you'd be able to look underneath the bridge there and see it.
I don't know how much they charge to get on that pier.
I should have asked her. I forgot. It's been too many years since I've been down there, so I have no idea.
It's like one of the only pay piers in Southwest Florida, which means you don't have to have a license. You pay to get on the pier.
Yeah.
They pay the $1,000 a year to have the license, and you know, you going on, they get their money back and try and maintain the pier with it.
Right.
But I would say if you were driving from here to there, it's a solid hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's over an hour.
Yeah.
You know, especially now with traffic, because you're going to, from the store, you're going to on 41, you turn on Burnstore Road, take Burnstore Road down to Pine Island Road, Pine Island Road onto the island, and then at stop sign make a right, follow it all the way up to the north.
Yep.
You know, when you get where you can't go any further, that's where the pier is.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
pretty simple, three turns really.
Yeah. So anyway, Burnstore Two Pines.
Let's see, you got snook and redfish all along the shorelines, especially as you get a little further south towards Two Pines. And then there's been some pompano, and I've had a couple guys catch some flounder there on top of the bar, moving up closer towards Burnstore. Haven't heard of any trout down that way, though. Tom Fisher's been fishing down there a little bit and posted a couple pictures of some of his redfish and a couple of his snook that he caught, or his customers caught, I should say.
This was a time of year I used to travel down there a lot, mostly in the evenings because it warmed up all day.
Yeah.
And I could go down there and catch 8 different species of fish anchored in one spot.
Yeah. That Two Pines area, as you get down to that, that was cool. The first time you took me down there, showing me the different, and it was like in the wintertime because we could see the bottom pretty good. And you were showing me some of those different mangrove islands that have like the deep buckets underneath them, like 2 and 3 foot drop-offs underneath the leaves of those mangroves. That was just fascinated me.
Yeah, a couple of those bays down there I used to do really well out of, but it's like everything else when you go to those areas. You have to learn the peculiarity of each of the bays. There's some of the bays you can pull your boat in and still catch fish. Some of the bays you have to keep your boat outside of the bay entirely or you'll never catch a fish.
Right.
And learning each one of the particulars and, okay, this is the mouth of a pretty good-sized creek. It's not actually a little bay. And it's just so much, but it's time and experience.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was telling me, well, you know, I'm going to fish up in this area because those fish will be there. And I said, they're not going to be there in the summer. You got 90% of the fish going to leave, you know, sometime in April, May, by June, you'll have 90% less fish than you do now. Well, they can take that. Well, yeah, they can take it, but snook want to leave and go spawn.
Right.
They're not going to hang out in the river. They're going to go come down and they're going to go out to spawn. So the snook are going to leave. 10% of them will stay. And, you know, the other fish, once the rain starts and it gets hot, it's very uncomfortable. Why would you stay where it's that uncomfortable? Why wouldn't you just go move a little further, you know? Just because someone can doesn't mean they want to.
Right.
You know, it's like me. I could move to another state, but the more I think about it, why would I want to?
Right.
You know, I can save some money, but that's money's never been my driving issue in life anyway.
Yeah, you own a bait shop. That's obvious.
Yeah, I could have done things where I actually did well in life. You know, I could have actually. It was funny. That was exactly what we were talking. I was talking to the hot dog guy about it. And I said, how's business? He said, okay. You know, and I'm like, yeah, it's the one thing. If this place paid better, this would be like the perfect gig. He says, yeah. Because he has a ton of fun talking to the customers. He's got people to talk to all day.
Right.
He has a really good time hanging out back, doing his hot dog thing.
Absolutely.
He's just not making much money.
No.
And I tell him, it's the same thing inside the store. If we made better money, this would be like the perfect way to live.
Absolutely.
It'd be the perfect job. But, you know, not everything's perfect. You know.
Need
a little more money and, you know, hopefully. But if not,
I've still
done better than some and worse than others.
Yep.
And that's really, I don't care if you're the guy in the bicycle riding down the side of the road with all your luggage on a cart behind you or Donald Trump. Somebody made more money than you. Somebody made less money than you.
Yep.
Somebody has a better life. Somebody has a worse life.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
As long as you, I still, after 35 years, I would say 98% of the time, really enjoy walking into here.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time.
I know.
There are days when $100 in a bus ticket, and I'd let somebody have this.
You know? Yep.
But most of the time, I like it.
Yeah.
And speaking of things you like, the east side of the harbor, the Keys over there, what's going on?
There's been some pretty good, once again, still some pretty good snook and redfish activity along all those little islands and bushes and even the mouths of some of those creeks. But that's the same thing. If you get further back into some of those creeks, it's small redfish. And then on top of the bar, there's been a few trout, both on top of the bar and on the outside of the bar. A couple guys have seen a few cobia cruising the outside of the bar. But they're like ghosts. They've seen them but weren't able to hook anything, or they disappear when they try to find them again. There has been a few schools of small jacks moving on the inside of the bar and the outside bar. Most of those are like in those little, you know, the little 1 to 3 pounders, just the fun size when they come through. That's about it.
Gag grouper over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little baby gag grouper being caught.
Yeah, possible gag or Goliath. I actually wrote Goliath because I learned how to spell it a while back.
Nice.
I still like it better when it was Jewfish.
So do I. You know? I had somebody look at me like I had three heads the other day when I told them it was a Jewfish, and they're like, isn't that a Goliath? I'm like, yeah, but it's always going to be a Jewfish to me.
Yeah. Why should Goliath beat the Jews on this one?
Exactly.
I mean, I thought the Jews... didn't. Davy slew Goliath, right?
Yep.
It's just weird how they picked that name.
And nobody complained about it. That's the funny part. The FWC did that to be proactive rather than reactive. Who's the genius that said, okay, let's change the name to this?
Yeah, I mean, David and Goliath, the whole, you know, wasn't that the whole Jews and all that kind of stuff over there?
Yeah, exactly.
And so this time Goliath won, David lost?
Right.
It's just weird.
No.
The world's ending in 12 years. Okay. I couldn't believe it. That was like a congressperson, you know. They're up there, you know. They were elected into office, and they're literally going around saying, we're all going to die in 12 years. I'm like, these people need to be in a rubber room somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll apologize if I'm dead in 12 months and a day, or 12 years and a day. I'll apologize. In the meantime, lock them up, put them in a rubber room, because that's wacko stuff. You know, they need to have a cardboard sign along the road. The end is near.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been seeing that stuff since I was a kid.
Yep.
And I've watched everything get better.
Yeah.
I mean, things are better. You know, are they great? No, but are they better? Absolutely.
Right.
So, I don't get it. And, if you're going to do something, let's get rid of the plastic bottles. Let's go back to glass bottles. Forget this plastic garbage. Go back to glass soda bottles, glass water bottles.
Milk bottles.
People are going to get cut. They're going to drop them on the floor and break them. Clean the glass up. Don't be stupid. You know what I mean? This is not that hard.
No.
You want to do something real, eliminate all that stuff.
Right.
When you go to Europe, I used to go to these big festivals, you know, I worked all the big festivals and stuff, and you go and pay $5, and you got a glass to drink out of, a glass mug or a glass. Mm-hmm. But you paid $5 to get that. You drank out of it, and to get your $5 back, you had to turn the glass in.
Right.
And they washed them and reused them. There would be 100,000, 200,000 people go through this thing in a day, and there was literally no garbage anywhere.
No.
Because they used knives, forks, plates, spoons, and they washed them between the customers. They didn't take
Imagine
everything
that.
And throw it in the garbage. Gee, you're green. No, you're an idiot. Sorry, but the truth hurts.
Right.
You're a moron. You're an eco-idiot. All right. Ponce de Leon Park.
Well, let's see. Snook. There's been some jacks. Some black drum and some sheep's head. Other than that, I haven't heard any mangrove snapper, nothing else. Just kind of a hodgepodge.
Well, when that makes sense with what you said, they're not doing the snappers?
Yeah, but that's offshore. Usually you're hearing of them inshore, at least. You know?
Yeah, but it makes sense. If they quit biting offshore, why would they stay inshore and bite?
I don't know.
Word would have to get out. Okay, guys, you know.
We're all disappearing.
Yeah, hold off. You know, nobody bite right now.
We're going to fast for a little bit.
Well, maybe they're paying reference to Goliath.
There you go. Nice. You know, there you go.
Don't they do a Passover or a Lent or
something?
There's a religious thing in that somewhere. I'm not particularly religious, boys and girls. So, let's see, PGI Punta Gorda?
There's a lot of snook in there. And of assorted sizes from 15 inches all the way up to 35 inches. The big jacks have been in there. And here's where that story comes in from earlier of another gentleman. He bought a twitch stick. He was asking what to use. And I said, just take the twitch stick, go in there, and just slow troll around. He's like, my wife sometimes gets a little seasick. I just want to take her out. This was like a week or two ago, and he came in yesterday telling me this story. And he's like, I just want to tell you, I caught the biggest jack I have ever caught. And I'm like, okay, well, how big was it? And he goes, I think it was 33 pounds.
33 pounds?
That's what I said. Oh, I said, how do you know? He goes, I have a digital scale that goes up to 50 pounds that we actually bought for the black drum and for weighing our luggage when we travel. And I'm like, really? And he goes, I put that fish on scale. He said it took me 25 minutes to land that fish. It was right at the mouth of one of the dead-end canals. And he said he stuck it, and it just started screaming line, but he managed to fight it, and he pulled it up. He said, the picture's really lousy because my wife was standing up on the upper deck, and I'm on the bottom deck, so it looks like my legs are this tall, and my body's this tall. But I was looking at the picture, and I'm using him for a reference, and I can't say that his scale wasn't accurate because it was a very large jacket. It was over 3 foot long. Oh, it was huge. I told him, I said, I've never, ever heard of a jack inshore, let alone in the canals, over 25 pounds.
And
15 and 20 pounders, yes. 25 pounds, no. But a 33 pounder, not even close. I said, that's offshore, usually East Coast territory.
Isn't it crazy? But like I said, Storm Twitch 6 strikes again.
Yeah.
He said it is the craziest lure in history. Yeah. And even when I'm talking to the guys from Rapala, it's a Rapala lure, Rapala lure. That's who owns Storm.
Yeah.
And the guy says, but it's not that good a lure. I said, I know that. We know that, but the fish love the damn thing.
Right.
I said, I still don't understand. We buy 6,000 a year. I just ordered another 3,000. We're buying 6,000 of them a year. Even if it was just a normal lure sold nationwide and they were selling 6,000 a year, I don't think they would cancel it.
You wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, no. If they could sell 6,000 a year, they're selling 6,000 to one store.
Right.
Why wouldn't you at least just bring two or three colors back?
Right.
It makes no sense at all. And they got that Thunderstick, which I've yet to catch a fish with. They kept that.
Right.
I guess maybe up north it's a good walleye lure?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of not making any sense, Gilcrest Pier.
Actually, one guy caught a little unidentifiable shark because his picture was pretty lousy, but I'm guessing it was a small bull shark. It was about 3.5 feet long. I couldn't identify it. I said, I'm doing my best, man, but I've had to guess it's probably a baby bull, but his...
Should there still be baby bull sharks around like that?
A couple of guys have shown me pictures of them. They shouldn't be around. They should be 5 foot by now or 4.5 foot, but these are literally like 30, 36 inches.
Some guys are telling me about small black tip sharks on the beach, and I'm right. Like, little black tips at this time of year, they should be, you know, a few feet long.
Yeah, they should be at least 2.5. I mean, a black tip right now should be a minimum of 2.5 foot because they're born at about 14 to 16 inches on a black tip.
You know,
it's like a bull shark is born at about 24 to 32 inches, depending on the size of the bull, but bare minimum of 2 foot. I mean, that's a small runt. Average size is 28 to 30.
And so, the guys are catching them not much bigger than that.
No. So either they're stunted because of a lack of food or these animals gave birth way late this year. I'm not sure which. I mean, we're seeing pictures of 30 to 36 inch bull sharks. Like, what is that about at this time of year? That's almost as odd.
Speaking of what's it about, Alligator Creek Reef.
They've been catching a few sheep's head there, but there's also been quite a few guys saying that it's very dead. Josh had a problem there the other day with all the snotgrass that he was catching off of it. So, I think it just depends on the day with the tide moving in and out there right now. It's been pretty slow overall. Josh said he couldn't catch anything with his customer the other day because it was just, every drop down was just some snotgrass.
All right, the deep holes in the harbor?
Nothing.
Okay, freshwater.
Crappie are still doing pretty good. They're subtle on their feed right now. But they're doing pretty good in the Northport canals. Had a couple guys give me some reports over in Rotunda. And Lake Placid has really started to pick up this past week. I had a guy in here today that his buddy's been doing really good over there. He was going over there today. That his buddy's been doing really good all week over there at Placid. That's about it that I've got on the crappie. The bass fishing has been decent. You know, last week when it warmed up, it kind of slowed down. But the day that that cold front came through and the next day when it was really chilly, I had quite a few guys come in here and buy shiners and said that they had been catching, you know, 2 to 4 pound bass and doing fairly well on them. So they were going to stick with it and go out there and freeze a little bit and catch a few bigger bass. And then the baits, as far as artificials goes on that, the guys are still all over the map. One guy buys a spinner bait, another guy buys the horny toad frog. You know, it's not making any sense with what all they're buying. Guess if they throw enough garbage at the wall, something's going to stick. Is that kind of the saying? They just, nobody's consistent with the lures that they're buying for bass right now. And then the, still catching some of the tilapia, because we've had a lot of guys buying worms. They're catching quite a few tilapia over there in Northport, Port Charlotte, and Rotunda on the worms, so they're on some kind of good little worm feed right now, which is not normal, but hey, let's stick with really abnormal theme for the rest of the show anyway.
What would make this one any different?
Exactly.
I think if you went back 5 years ago, we would be saying, this is the weirdest year ever. This is crazy.
Right.
What's going on with the fishing? This month we should be doing this, this, and this, and it's just not working. And
nope.
You know, it. All right. Any red dots for the tarpon?
No.
Yellow dots?
Yeah. Pine Island Sound and above I-75.
How about Captiva?
They're seeing them, but they didn't hook any.
Right. And above I-75?
Yeah, because there's a lot of the juveniles all the way up to like 80-pounders, and guys are hooking them and seeing them.
What about white dots, a chance of?
That would be like Captiva, Boca, and above El Jobin. Because they're just mostly seeing them, but just having a hard time hooking them. But the ones that they're hooking the most have been up there, you know, up by you.
Yeah.
But they're from 10 to 60 pounds, even a couple 80-pounders. One guy said he saw one fish that he swears was well over the 100-pound mark. Richie's been catching a couple of those juveniles up there by you. Just very, very strange.
Yeah. Actually, so
I like it. It's fun to, I think that's the coolest part about here. I mean, there's a lot of really cool parts about working in here, but you know, it's like you've talked about it and we talked about it, you know, working up north in a bait shop on a freshwater lake. Here they're this, 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 and this, and that's pretty much going to be the consistent theme. But here it's like we've got all these different species that move in and out throughout the whole year, because this one's more summertime, this one's more wintertime, this one's more year-round. But then you got a month like this where it's just a complete monkey wrench that just screws you all up, and now you've got, hey, you got sharks, you got snook, you got slot-sized redfish, you got rat redfish, you've got sheep's head of assorted sizes, you got lizard fish being caught inside Bull Bay and Turtle Bay, you know, just some of the weirdest little things that you just kind of get you to scratch your head.
How many species we talk about during the course of a year?
A lot.
And all the different places and the different types of sharks and the different, I mean, all of the different stuff that's possible here. I mean, we just had a guy catch a 300-pound Goliath grouper off a dock.
Yeah. And that's not
from a dock.
And it's not deep water there. It's not really that deep of water.
I didn't even
think
there was enough water for neither him did to I. float there.
Neither did I. No, so, weird.
Yeah, I got to tell you, weird of the strange in the news, you know. We could be doing congressional stuff here.
Right.
It's that wacky.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think you know, the only difference is we actually get stuff done, I think. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a Democrat, don't vote for any Democrat. If you're a Republican, don't vote for any Republican congressman or senator unless they do something. And by that, I mean the state of Florida passed a resolution to eliminate the time change. So we're on the same time all year. This has been passed here, but the people in D.C. will not take it up. They're too busy fighting amongst themselves. So if you're listening in your state, and there's several states with this resolution, and it's even maybe going to supposed to be going nationwide, where we don't have to go spring forward and fall back, you know, an hour thing. I mean,
right.
We have lights and we can change our hours of operation, and, you know, I'm sure the school district is smart enough to say, okay, at this time of year, we're going to do this and we're going to do that.
Right.
I mean, why are we paying these people on the school board if they can't simply adjust the time to, they seem to do it randomly anyway.
Right.
If nobody in D.C., congressmen, senators, is willing to address this
simple
time
task.
Change issue, please don't vote for anybody in office. If all they can do is fight amongst themselves, we don't need these people. And that's Democrats, Republicans, whoever. Let's send a message to them. We want something to get done. At least do this.
Yeah.
This isn't that hard. Mm-mm. I mean, it's not 1860. I understand why they did it then. But it's not 1860, for God's sakes.
Right.
In 2020... allow us the sanity of having one time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just, that's all I can tell you. Let's let them know that we're not voting for any of them if they're not willing to actually do what we elected them to do. And let's take care of some of these, you know, it's not a life change or life ending proposition, but wouldn't life be so much better? Isn't that what they're supposed to do, is make our lives better, not more miserable? So that's my little two cents to the political world, because I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. You know, I don't like either one. So anyway, I guess in the fishing business right now, to head out a little bit later. For some reason or another, it's not an early morning bite.
No.
Even when the water warms up, they're still not reacting till 10, 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, sleep in a little bit, relax, go out for breakfast. We got a lot of great breakfast joints in town. You know, go out and, you know, kind of enjoy the morning a little bit. Then head out, you know, you get a nice full belly, and go out, relax on the water, catch some fish. And it's really not much is going to happen before 9 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, we don't know why there's all those sharks out there.
No.
We're going to
take advantage of it, though, because it could turn off like a light switch.
Yeah. If if you're coming down and you're visiting Florida, you know, it's an awesome time. The weather's pretty decent, you know, and if you're from an area where it's cold as hell right now and blizzards and rainy and slush and all that kind of stuff, Florida's awesome right now.
Absolutely.
But go out to the beach. Like I say, get there a couple hours before dark. Toss a chunk of dead bait out there. Preferably no weight, no nothing on it. But if you've got a little bit of current, you're going to have to add some weight. But give yourself about 2-3 feet of space between your sinker and your bait. Sing it out there. Kick back. Enjoy a cocktail. Watch sunset. It's the West Coast. I mean, you've got beautiful sunsets out there. The people from all over the world come to watch sunset. Might as well do it with a shark rod out.
Exactly.
And it could be a little Zebco 202. It could be your bass fishing rod. Whatever you got. You don't need any special tackle.
No.
Just put a little steel leader on and sling a chunk of bait out there. You don't need all that fancy gear. You're going out there to have some fun. If you get railed, what a great story.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, let's see. The producer... I'm the producer. No, you're not. I'm the producer. Okay. Playing the music so we can go away. Any final thoughts?
Just been beautiful and wonderful fishing, so take advantage of it. It's worth it.
Great time to vacation.
Make the time.
Yeah, great time to vacation in Florida. It's pretty darn nice here. It really is. So, anyway, thank you all for listening one more time. And no, yes, I do get a little disheartened when people, you know, get on me about different stuff. But at the end of the day, we'll be back with it. And, you know, I went around and looked on some of the different websites. It's hard to find a fishing report that's less than a month old.
Yeah.
On any fishing reports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're doing the best we can. You know, so thank you. And we will catch you on the next Area Fishing Report. Bye.